Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is all about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of life, and we'll discover some of the wisdom that's found in different cultures about this topic. These talks are based on the works of Gautam Ali Shah. He's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker, and author for over 15 years, based in Lahore, Pakistan. So today's topic is about behavior change. We'll look at some of the factors that make up behavior. We'll do a bit of a self-analysis exercise, and then we'll look at the most important behaviors that we can acquire to have success and happiness in life. So let's start with what are the effects that behavior can have on our prosperity? Well, if we remember just one thing from this week's podcast, I hope it's this. Changing behavior equals changing consequences. So if we want more success and happiness in our life, we'll have to change our attitude and actions, the way that we behave within ourselves and with others. And if we can make these behavioral changes, then the consequences can bring big changes to our life. Okay, so let's first define behavior. Gautam Ali Shah says behavior is really our way of living. That includes our thinking, our acting, and our responding. It includes our guided and unguided thoughts. Guided thoughts being things that we've been taught by our parents or friends or school, by books that we read, to think in a certain way. A lot of us have never been taught to be free thinkers, to always be learning to think for ourselves. So for many of us, our way of living, our behaviors have reached a standstill, and we're not constantly improving ourselves. So let's first understand behavior a little bit. And here are five factors Gautam Ali Shah outlines that make up behavior. So the first factor that determines our behavior is our personality or our human nature. Most theories on personality say that the majority of our personality is developed in childhood and that the personality is stable by the end of adolescence. But the lifespan perspective on personality is based on the plasticity principle, that personality traits are open systems that can be influenced by the environment at any age. Let's hope it's correct so that we all have some hope. Number two is our childhood. So our childhood and the way that we're brought up has a massive influence on the way that we behave. I mean, we can't go back and change our childhood, but what we can do is change our perspective about things that happened in our childhood. We don't have to let negative memories dictate what our adult life is like. We can overcome these things. And I know that's easier said than done. People who hurt us when we're children create a deep wound that is incredibly hard to heal. And not only that, sometimes our wounds from our childhood can cause us to behave in the same way that hurt us in the first place. For example, some parents who use physical punishment in their kids for discipline, and they do this because that's all that they've seen growing up. But we know that the truth is that there are 100 other ways to discipline, less violent and more effective. I mean, I grew up with a mom who used a lot of smacking around and expletives as her way of disciplining me. I remember when I was in middle school one day, I had fly swatter marks all over one of my arms. Bambi and Jamie, if you're out there listening, you probably remember that day. And the next few days, cracking jokes about it at school. But I grew up watching enough daytime TV psychologists that I knew that I have the power to be different than what I experienced. I'll now remind myself of it and make sure that I don't use that kind of behavior towards my kids because I know it doesn't do any good. But the fact that I remember it and then purposefully try not to do that shows that yes, my childhood experiences have an effect on me, but I can determine how it affects my behavior. Okay, moving on, the next factor that affects our behavior is our experiences. These affect both our thoughts and beliefs. This can be positive or negative, because although everyone says, learn from your experience, the danger from that is that we might begin to generalize individual experiences and make some wrong judgments. Because we all have different paths, different exposures, different learning. So while our experiences affect the way that we behave, we shouldn't let it be the most important factor. Number four, and this is probably the biggest factor that determines our behavior, is our thoughts. If we think of behavior as a tree, then the seed is the thought. So the tree can only be like the seed. So an apple seed can only make an apple tree, and an orange seed can only make an orange tree. In the same way, our thoughts will turn into our behavior. And if we want to change a certain behavioral trait, we have to change our thoughts that are causing that behavior. Gautam Ali Shah recommends a book that he's referred to in numerous talks. It's called Teach Yourself to Think by Edward D. Bono. Bono, who is a pioneer in the science of thinking, introduces the reader to the most effective ways of thinking creatively and its limitless potential. According to him, creativity in thoughts is a must for success and progress in today's world. Without this creativity in our thinking, our behavior will never go beyond its perceived limits. We should always be questioning the things that we've learned already from our teachers and parents and other parts of society. Bono says creativity is a great motivator because it makes people interested in what they're doing. So using creativity, we can change our thoughts, and that will end up leading to our changed behavior. Okay, so the last factor that makes up our behavior is our knowledge. Each person acts according to his own knowledge. Gautam Ali Shah tells us about a man who lived about 1,000 years ago. His name was Ali bin Usman, also known as Ali Hajveri, and he's also known by his nickname Data Ganjbaksh, which means a master who bestows gifts. He was an 11th century Sufi saint and is today buried in Lahore, Pakistan. So Sufism is sort of a spiritual wing within Islam. It encourages more focus on purifying our souls rather than only ritual acts of worship. But many of today's practices in Sufism have become a bit more cultural-based rituals rather than what the scholars taught. So when Ali Hajveri was asked, "What is Sufism?" he replied, "In our times, the science has been in reality obliterated, especially in this region, because people are occupied with pleasure and have turned away from satisfying God." And although he's considered a Sufi saint, Hajveri believed that individuals should never claim to attain enlightenment because it showed pride and arrogance, and that having a true understanding of God should be a silent understanding. And he agreed with the idea that belief in God should not only be observed within us, but also displayed outwardly in our behavior. He built a mosque in what is present-day Lahore, and he taught and he guided people, and he gave them the knowledge of God, hoping to change people's behavior. He inspired thousands in his lifetime, and even today his legacy lives on, especially in Southeast Asia. Today, Hajveri's mosque, which is known as Data Darbar in Lahore, is a place of prayer. It's also a place of compassion and love, where every day people go and donate money, and food is served for thousands of needy people, where really anybody can go and get a free meal throughout the day. It's a place where at any given time of day and night, you see hundreds of people worshiping there. There are huge pots of food, which are called digs, and they're like lined all around the perimeter of the mosque. And digs are like 3 feet tall steel pots used for cooking. I remember a few months ago, my sister Rabia, many of you already know her from the hit podcast Undisclosed, she went with one of my uncles to Data Darbar to donate some money and had some digs of food cooked and distributed. And she told me they gave her a delicious plate of biryani to eat. So Hajveri was a prolific writer, and his most famous book is titled Kashif al-Mahjub, which means Revelation of the Veiled. Gautam Ali Shah says it's an incredibly powerful book, one of the books that stood the test of time, and 1,000 years later, it's still very widely read and taught because of its spiritual wisdom. And one of the extraordinary features of the book, he says, is its conciseness, where Hajveri uses small phrases to express profound wisdom. Hajveri writes, "A utensil cannot hold more than its capacity, and we cannot draw out of a utensil what hasn't been poured into it." And this is a great way to understand our point that knowledge affects our behavior. If we are the utensil and knowledge is the matter stored, then we can only give what we have within us. We will interact and behave only according to our knowledge. But even the knowledge that we have is always changing, always increasing. Some of it can be flawed at times, so it's important to constantly evaluate our knowledge, constantly try to increase it, update it, and enhance it, because our knowledge does, without a doubt, influence our behavior. So we've discussed the five important factors that make up behavior. While some are constant, some can be changed, like our personality, our thoughts, and our knowledge. And these are the things that we can work on. The purpose of this podcast, and really all of our podcasts, is personal development so that we can attain the success and happiness that we desire. And as we're discussing today, Our behavior plays a major role in having this outcome, so we should try and get to the roots of what behavior we want to change. And in order to do that, we have to do a bit of self-analysis. And that takes us to our next topic, and it's a bit of an exercise, really. Okay, Gossam Ali Shah suggests everyone should do this quick exercise every now and again for some self-analysis. And this will also prepare us for the next part of the talk. So if you can, take out a piece of paper and a pen. This will be quick, I promise. Okay, step one. First, we'll try to jot down, without doing too much filtering, all the behaviors that we think might be offending or upsetting or hurting others or even ourselves. And we have to try to keep our egos out of this. No one will see the list, so it's okay to be brutally honest. So after we've written these things down, let's take a look at the list and think, why are we doing these things? I mean, we know these behaviors are either hurting, upsetting, or offending someone, and maybe they're making people even stay away from us. So we can ask ourselves, why do we continue to do it? Okay, so step two, we can figure out what is the origin of our behavior. By analyzing this, we might come to some revelation about ourselves that could give us better control over our behavior. Step three is to think of alternate ways that we can behave for each of those behaviors that we wrote down, and then choose the best or easiest one for us. And finally, step four is that as we go about our life, we just consciously try to behave the way that we chose. Instead of our original behavior, try to remember what was the alternate that we chose and try to implement that. And that's it, really. And if we can do this exercise every now and again, it will really help us to develop ourselves. A mystic once wrote, "Wise is the person who embraces solitude, analyzes his behavior, and chooses the traits he should give up and those that he should adopt." Gossam Ali Shah here says that one of the biggest tragedies is that most people don't develop. They don't want to improve when it comes to their behavior. I'm sure we all have people in our families that are known for some particular behavior, and it seems that this behavior doesn't change over the years. We should ask ourselves, are we known in our families or circle of friends for a particular behavior? And is it good or bad, positive or negative? And are we the same people that we were 5 or 10 or 15 years ago? Or have we been able to improve in some ways? I mean, none of us are so perfect that we don't have behaviors that we could improve or change. So again, if we can try to do this exercise every now and again in any capacity, it can be really beneficial to us. Like before going to sleep, I often think of those things in the day that I wish I hadn't said or done. And I think it's sort of a type of taking account of behavior. A few days ago, it was like 7:30 in the morning. I'd only gotten about 4 hours of sleep the night before because I was working late. And I'm trying to get the kids out the door for school. And I look over, my husband's checking my daughter's leg because she had some rash on it the other day. And he's like taking off her leggings calmly, checking it out. And I just lost it. I just screamed, "I already put cream on that. We're late. Put her clothes on." And I probably made the room shake a little bit from my yelling. So that was bad. But I really have anxiety over issues on being late and then yelling about it, I guess. But anyway, my poor husband said nothing. And I felt bad as soon as I got in the car. So the real test is not only to self-analyze and then regret it, but also be able to change that behavior for the future. So I'm hoping to work on that part a bit. So hopefully next time I can be a bit more calm about telling him what I need to say. So Viktor Frankl, who is a neurologist, a psychiatrist, and a Holocaust survivor, said, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." So let me repeat that because I think it's a brilliant quote. "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." So this amazing statement by this amazing man reminds us that we have full power to change our behavior, giving us amazing opportunities for our personal growth. Okay, so now Gossam Ali Shah lists the 7 empowering behaviors or traits that we should all work towards having. But first he shares a story about a man who was walking to work in the morning and he saw an old man sawing the trunk of a tree and he was sweating and grunting and cursing a bit at it. And he asked the man what was the matter. And the old man just said, well, he's trying to cut down the tree. The man said okay and continued on his way to work. In the evening, on his way home, he saw the same old man struggling with the tree, and he hadn't seemed to make much progress. So he stopped and asked him what was the matter. And the old man said, well, my saw isn't very sharp. And he suggested, well, why don't you go and sharpen it? And the old man's response was, well, I don't have time for that. So I think a lot of us are approaching life in the same way, where we consider preparing a waste of time. Our behavior is one of the most important tools in accomplishing the task of living a life, but we don't really take the time to work or prepare to sharpen this tool. Instead, we keep wasting our time complaining and sweating and grunting like the old man. So let's try and sharpen our behavior tool. And let's look at the 7 behaviors that everyone should try and acquire. Number 1 is having a learning attitude. And we talked about this in episode 2 in our podcast, Life Skills, in the importance of learning. So having a learning attitude essentially means that we should always be actively learning. So if we have the habit of reading in general, in participating in educational or learning programs and activities, or listening to great podcasts, that's a pretty good sign that we have a learning attitude. Number 2, having a progressive mindset or being open-minded. Our success and happiness don't depend as much on external circumstances as they do on our mindsets. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, of course, that's the book that we reviewed in our last podcast, and I hope you all heard that. And if you didn't, please go and hear that. He wrote that there are limitations to the mind except that those that we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offspring of thought. And here's a great story that Gautam Ali Shah shares about a young man that he met. And the story is so inspirational, and I think it truly exemplifies what a progressive or open mindset is. So one of Gautam Ali Shah's friends, his name is Rehan. He's also a trainer in Pakistan. He was visiting New York a few years ago, and he met a young man there named Sabir. And he asked him where he was from, and he ended up being from Lahore, Pakistan. And then he went on to tell him about his life story. So Sabir grew up very poor, living in the slums of Pakistan. His mother worked as a cleaning lady, and his dad had a donkey cart that he would use to transport building materials from one place to another, earning very little money. And as a boy, he wasn't able to go to school because he had to earn money for his family. So his job was collecting trash. But he was obsessed with reading and learning, so he started reading the things that he would find in the trash. And eventually his parents, compelled by his passion to learn, ended up enrolling him into a school. But he still continued working to help his family. So he was washing cars while he went to school. But because of his passion for reading and learning, he ended up being one of the best students, and he started tutoring other classmates in English. One day he ended up meeting a lady from the U.S. Embassy in Lahore. And she was so moved by his story and his struggle that she ended up helping him apply for a fellowship program, which he ended up getting selected for. Sabir expressed his gratitude not just to the lady at the embassy, but also to Charles Dickens' novel, Great Expectations, which changed his mindset and eventually changed his life. He relates with Pip, who is the leading character and narrator in that book, and his story is about his social and financial rise from a poor orphan into a higher society. So Sabir wasn't afraid of a change. He had a progressive mindset, and he was willing to do whatever it took to achieve his goals. So in order to change our behavior, to have the success and happiness that we want, we should be open-minded and be able to make and want changes in our life. Okay, moving on. If we want to grow and change our behavior, our motivation should be greater than any resistance that we face. So number 3 is staying positive in adversity and challenges. Our passion should overshadow any doubts and fears that we have. Our belief in ourselves should be so profound and so strong that no matter what the situation is, we can handle it and we can walk through the darkness. After all, every night, it's only darkest before the dawn. And the 4th behavior that we should all try and acquire, if we don't already have it, is kindness. All religions emphasize this trait. Kindness is a behavior that may seem like it's being done for others, but it's really a reward to ourselves because we end up getting more out of it than the person receiving our kindness. The Dalai Lama said, when we feel love and kindness towards others, It not only makes others feel loved and cared for, but it helps us as well. We develop inner peace and happiness. And he also said, kindness and a good heart are the foundation for success in this life. And it's a progress on the spiritual path and the fulfillment of our aspirations. And research has actually proven this point. Only a few years ago, a study published in the Journal of Social Psychology done by researchers from the UK shows that people who do good deeds for others feel more happiness. And another study done by researchers at the Harvard Business School and the University of British Columbia suggests that there's a kind of a positive feedback loop between kindness and happiness so that one is always encouraging the other. Number 5, being ready to forgive. And forgiveness really needs to be understood. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines forgiveness as giving up resentment or a claim to requital, to exact neither punishment nor redress. So forgiveness does not need to start with the other person saying, I'm sorry. We don't need an excuse to do it. And we should not expect anything in return for our forgiveness. Okay, the 6th behavior is generosity. And this is helping anyone that's in need. We don't need to be rich to be generous. Generosity has a lot more to do with our mindset and with our purity of our intentions than our resources. Gossam Ali Shah says that if we see someone in need and we really don't have anything to give, then we can at least give them prayers. Okay, and the last behavior that we should try and acquire is learning and then teaching. Phil Collins, of course, the great singer and songwriter, said, in learning you teach, and in teaching you will learn. Teaching is probably one of the noblest professions in the world, but Gossam Ali Shah emphasizes that we have to first learn something before we can teach it. So this behavior is learning and then teaching. Mahatma Gandhi once said, happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. So in conclusion, our behavior is made up of our personalities, our childhood, our experiences, our thoughts, and our knowledge. And we can work on our personality, our thoughts, and our knowledge to change them for the better. And doing simple exercises of self-analysis on our behavior will help us to have a better chance of changing ourselves into the way that we want to become. And some of the most important behaviors that we should all have in order to achieve success and happiness are having a learning attitude, being progressive, meaning wanting to change ourselves, being positive through difficulties, choosing kindness, being forgiving, being generous, and learning and then teaching. All of these qualities will then lead us to the path of prosperity and help us to attain whatever goals that we've set for ourselves. And again, if we remember just one thing from this week's podcast, I hope it's this, that changing behavior equals changing consequences. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate each and every one of you listening in. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please share it with others. And of course, please feel free to share your thoughts and comments with us either through our website, www.happinessnowpodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.